Blog Talk Radio.
Hard to know what to say. We said so much that we did. What a price that we paid. When we can't forget, much less forget. The more I hear, the more I feel it. We might lose each other.
And we're so hard when we come to our senses. Before we go, we fall. Oh, love shouldn't be so hard.
Greetings, beloved friends, and welcome to Divine Experience with your host, Dr. Dacia Smith-McCondishy. Thank you for joining me this evening. This is a special called broadcast. It's not previously scheduled or isn't a part of the routine episodes. The Lord has put this on my heart today. The Holy Spirit has been moving and working in me in an incredible, remarkable way in the last 24 to 48 hours, beyond conception. I mean, truly, it's just been amazing. And I wanted to go on the air today to share what the Lord has revealed to me and how I've been liberated from some long-standing strongholds in my life. So this show today is called Healing Hearts, Relationship Funerals. I know it sounds kind of morbid and dismal and cynical, but you're going to see how it really is actually very uplifting and transforming and renewing. So that's Cece Winans, The Healing Part from the Everlasting Love album, one of my favorite songs that really do a regrowth and a rebirth and a renewal in Christ Jesus. Emotionally and psychologically and mentally as well as spiritually as it pertains to our relationships and interactions with others specifically. So before I get into that today and how that whole topic has evolved with me, I wanted to first reference COVID-19. So the coronavirus has canceled most people's lives and caused a major shift and upheaval in daily routines due to the panic over the pandemic. But even though it may be out of control, God is still in control. Hallelujah. He sits on the throne, and he knows. In his infinite wisdom, he knows all about this. I was watching a short video today that my sister sent me featuring Devon Franklin talking about anxiety and dealing with anxiety around this issue, this concern, this illness, and you made some very valid points in that, you know, we need to stay in the Word daily and several times daily with and just repeat the word to ourselves, the word of God, with the assurance that he knows, he sees the end from the beginning, and this is not happening without his oversight. So just trusting him in it, still being safe and taking precautions and keeping ourselves aware as the news reports how it is progressing. But first and foremost, paramount is our faith, right, and our trust in him. And another very profound point he made in this very short video is to take the time to really ask God, what do I need to be doing, like as an individual, while you have this extra time where churches may be closed, you may be off work, you know, there's just, again, a dramatic change, a drastic change in your schedule. This is time you can really invest spiritually because the busyness of day-to-day life has temporarily taken a back seat. So for me, this is how I came to this whole relationship funeral revelation through the Lord. But coronavirus, as horrific and appalling and devastating as it is, God can still bring blessings from it. And on an individual level, he can bring the blessings of being able to help us discover things and see things that we otherwise might not take the time to see and know. I definitely want to pray for those who are currently facing the illness, dealing with the illness, for their health and healing, for God's hand to just cover them and release them in a breakthrough of recovery from it. For those who've lost their lives, for their families, because that is just, if you've lost a loved one to this, I just cannot even imagine how tragic that experience may be. So we want to pray for those individuals and for the rest of us that, we would still have peace and assurance in spite of the panic and hysteria that is taking place, the hoarding in the stores, the cleaning of the shelves in the supermarkets and other places. God is still in control. Okay, so let's pray. Dear Father God in heaven, we just want to show and portray our gratitude that you are, knowing you are still in control of this situation, despite how chaotic it may seem. And Lord, we're just believing and trusting that it's all in your hands. You have already conquered coronavirus. When Jesus went to the cross and died for our sins, he also died for calamities and, destruction and devastation and all of those things in this fallen world. And so, Lord, we just submit ourselves to you. Help us to be humble and prayerful and steadfast and obedient in what you want us to do and how you want us to handle this situation. Lord, we pray for those who are dealing with the illness, who contracted it, Lord, and they are trying to make their way through it. Place your healing hands over them, over their bodies and over their minds, Lord, so that they know that you are there with them, Lord. We pray for those who have lost loved ones to this virus, Lord, that you would just bring comfort to them, Lord, and remind them that they will see their loved one again in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we just ask that as, this show proceeds today, that those listening would just receive insight, Lord, divine insight, holy insight as to how they should govern themselves in their relationships, of whether or not these relationships therein should continue. In your Son Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen. So I want to read some scripture verses on what the Bible says about healing very quickly. Jeremiah 17:14, heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for you are my praise. Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. 1 Peter 2:24, he himself wore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. Jeremiah 33:6, behold, I will bring it to health and healing, and I will heal them and reveal to them abundance of prosperity and security. Isaiah 53:5, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his stripes we are healed. Psalm 103:2-4, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. James 5:15, the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. If he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Psalm 41:3, the Lord sustains him on his sickbed, his illness, you restore him to full health. Hallelujah. Psalm 147:3, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. And I want to stop here because I want to say, I talk about healing. I'm talking about multiple facets of healing, the physical body, the mind, the mental healing, the psychological healing, the emotional healing with the feelings. So I'm talking about a wide range types of healing and health and wellness. That's important to remember. As we talk about these relationship funerals, it is for the glorification of God and of his word. It is also for to be able to come back into right fellowship with him, or perhaps we never even have been in right fellowship with him because of these particular strongholds getting in the way. So I want to read some scripture verses on new beginnings in a moment, but I first want to talk about relationship funerals and define them, because a lot of people are like, what is that? So if you first think about a funeral, right? So recently, on February 21st, we had my grandmother Pearline Newby's funeral, my maternal grandmother. And a funeral is saying goodbye to a person here on earth, right? We know as Christians, we'll see them again on the other side in eternity. So it's not goodbye forever. You can even say it's, you know, until later, until we meet again. Right, but as far as on this earth, we know we will not see them again. And we've got to get okay with that, and we've got to get at peace with that, and we've got to, otherwise we're not living in the reality of this space, okay? So, a relationship funeral is saying goodbye to a relationship, because we knew that person here, just like the Bible speaks to, we're going to know people on the other side that we knew here. It won't be that type of relationship, whatever the one was we had. But, you know, we'll see them on the other side. So that is kind of how it is parallel or analogous, right? The difference between the funeral of someone actually passing away, the first death versus the relationship funeral, we don't have any control over the first death and God's timing and all of that. But we do in a relationship situation, in free will, we decide, we can decide whether or not we want to continue that relationship. Okay. So that's what a relationship funeral is. So why would one need to have a relationship funeral? First of all, let's go back to the regular funeral. So the real funeral is like, you know, we say that it's the end of the person's life, right, here on earth, but it's really a new beginning for that person in glory with the Lord, right? Because the Bible speaks about this. Paul says to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. So as far as that individual knows, they are then with the Lord in glory, you know, once they leave here, once the soul ceases to exist here on earth in its, you know, temporal form in the body, right? So really, the end of a relationship is a new beginning for you, okay? But it's got to end. Just like we have to end here in order to live in glory with the Lord there, right? You can't exist in two planes, right? So in order to be able to start over with whatever the Lord has for us, sometimes it becomes necessary to end relationships that are either toxic, ambiguous, just outright ungodly because of the activities in the relationship, or a combination of all three. And sometimes these things can linger on for years, even decades, as you know, we will discuss here in a little bit. But let's talk about new beginnings. And so let's look at some scripture verses. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Love this one. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Jeremiah 29:11. Another one of my favorites. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Isaiah 43:18-19, remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Aha, a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I'll make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Ephesians 4:22-24, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Lamentations 3:22-24, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. Isaiah 40:31, but they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And I can go on and on. But let's go for this word. So we defined a relationship funeral, and in that context, how it relates to a new beginning for you, okay? So when do you need to have a relationship funeral? I already said if your relationship is toxic, ambiguous, or just outright ungodly, okay? Toxicity in relationship. Toxicity simply means that it may be abusive in some way. It's not, it doesn't bring you, it doesn't generate or produce the fruits of the Spirit, right? And it sets you back in your relationship with the Lord. It doesn't cause it to advance or progress, but it causes regression, okay? It causes setbacks as you interact with this individual. So those just need to go, period. Ambiguous relationships, undefined. Well, you know, you were together at one point, but then a few years later, you know, he's back, and but you're not really sure. What does he want? What is he? Why is he? Whatever. Could it be? Well, maybe. God's not the author of confusion. You know, you have to mortify that thing because it isn't, it's not of God. And then the other is just ungodly stuff, you know, fornication going on, drug use, a number of those types of things that just, you know, they don't honor God, and their transgressions of you know, to his word. So I want to turn the intention. I'm going to bring it home to myself in just a moment. But a question that a lot of people have is, okay, yeah, such and such may be going on, but there are so many, there are good aspects, you know. If I bury the relationship, if I have the relationship funeral, then what about the good stuff that was happening, or the good stuff that he did, or whatever the case may be? And I'm speaking more so from, obviously I'm speaking from the female perspective, dealing with, you know, a man or males, but you know, gentlemen, if a man is listening, you can just, you know, transfer this to your relationship with women or females. You know, we ask that question, ladies. So here's the thing. It goes back to Romans 8:28. All things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Just because good comes out of it doesn't mean that was good for you. But the Lord God Almighty we serve in his abundant grace and mercy and everlasting love, he is going to, there's going to be good that comes out of it because God is good and he loves us and we are in him. We belong to him. So he is able to make something good come out of it, even though it wasn't good and it wasn't what he wanted for you. Case in point, in the latter part of my college years, I had a relationship with my son's father, and it was an off and on thing, but I was convinced he was the one for me, and I was madly in love with him, and we were going to be married, all this kind of thing. It was not a God-honoring relationship at all. It was all three of those things, really, toxic and ambiguous and ungodly. It was all of it, but I tried to make it be what I wanted it to be, and so God didn't bless the relationship itself. But a blessing came out of it, our son, you know, who is 20 years old today. So that's a very real example from my own life experience. So now I'm going to talk about when you know that that's what you need to do, because you can see that God's hand is not in it. There are two types of relationship funerals. There's the relationship funeral with the one who keeps coming back, okay? He keeps making his reappearance. It may be, you know, a span of a few years gap. It may be a 1 to 2 year gap. It may be a 10-year gap, but it keeps coming back. With those, the longer it goes, the harder it is, okay? So I'll give you an example, a couple of examples. I had two relationship funerals today, and going back to what Devon Franklin said in his, you know, message, inspirational message to people, all this coronavirus thing, as horrible as it is, has made me stop and think and hear God saying, bury these two individuals, right? So that's something that I never would have heard, because if it had not been for this particular situation I'm in now, because I didn't want to do that. I wanted to still keep hope that something would come up. But the bottom line is, the Lord has revealed to me, these two individuals don't even want to be with you, because their hearts are really kind of hard toward you because of past situations. But at the same time, they have an attachment to you, or they're drawn to you, and they don't care that it's hurting you, it's damaging to you emotionally and psychologically, because they are just trying to fill a desire they have to remain in contact and in connection with you. They just don't want to let it go. So, but what happens in that with me is that my heartstrings get pulled and I'm not well in spaces like that, right? So God said, look, I know what you say you want. I even know deep down in your heart what you want, and you don't want this. But you're holding on to it for fear that letting it go means what next. And God's like, I want you to let it go. I want you to bury them. And I want you to see what new life is going to come forward through me and from me in you. And I don't know what that looks like, friends. I really don't. because I don't know the intricacies of God's mind that way. None of us do. But what I do know is it's better than what I'm in and what I've been in, with one of them for decades, with another one of them for half. And, you know, the crazy thing about it is you've got to really, really be careful, because in both of these cases, years went by, I didn't even think about the person. I didn't even think about it until they re-entered. And that's why it's so important to end, like, formally, officially, definitively end it. Because if you don't, mentally, emotionally, psychologically, if you don't shut it off, it will come back. And it will come back when you're not expecting it and you won't be ready, because your heart is going to be vulnerable and they're going to be sweet and kind. They're going to do what dudes do inevitably, and your world is going to be rocked and it's going to hurt. And I don't care if you're 22 or 32 or 42 or 52 or 62, because we as women, our hearts, that's just how us, just our makeup. So you've got to do the definitive burial. You've got to have the relationship funeral. I should have done this years ago, but I didn't, because I thought, they're not coming back. Or, you know, if they do, I won't care. They are coming back. And if you don't proactively cut it off, have the funeral, that's the place where you'll be. So those are the ones that keep coming back. Now, if it's a new one, if it's the first time, your first interaction, you know, me personally, I don't even have the energy to deal with any new ones anymore. But if you're younger, you probably are open to dating and meeting or whatever the case may be. Here's how to know if you need to have a relationship funeral with one of those. One of those three conditions exists. It just has to be one. Doesn't have to be all three. Doesn't have to be two of the three. If any one of those conditions exists, toxicity, ambiguity, or outright ungodliness, time to have the relationship funeral. That's not of God. That's not sent by God of you, for you. Okay? Could he change and God send him back? Maybe, but that's not even for you to be concerned about. Because whether it's a relationship funeral for one that's been going on for years and decades like mine too, or whether it's just one that, you know, you've seen, you've been with them a few weeks, a few months, whatever, and one of these three conditions exist, once you have the relationship funeral, God's sending them back, right? Then those three conditions are not going to exist. None of those three conditions will exist. He'll come back. He'll come back right. He'll come back with no ambiguity, no gray lines, no, this is what I want, and God sent me to you, and that's how it's going to be, because that's how God doesn't operate in murky lines and, you know, territory that is unclear, okay? God knows what he wants to do, when he wants to do it, and how he wants to do it in our lives, and that includes in relationships with men. So, and everything that he brings us is for our good, okay? So if you need to have a relationship funeral or funerals, I pray that the Lord will give you strength to do that. The Holy Spirit will give you strength to do that, but you have to submit and yield to the Holy Spirit. A couple of other things to remember, because my time is running out. Once you have a relationship funeral, the person is dead relationally to you. You cannot respond to any text messages. You cannot respond to any, you can't answer any phone calls. You can't do anything like that. You need to As one wise woman told me, block communications, because if you don't, your heart will just get heavier and heavier, and it will get more and more difficult, and you might find yourself in a really dangerous situation. So don't. Okay, you've buried them. They are dead relationally to you. Now, they're not dead if you happen to run into them and see them in Walmart or the library or wherever. Hey, how you doing? Oh, it's so great to see you. Wow. Yeah, I'm doing fine. Thank you. And keep on trucking. But relationally, you don't stop and have conversations. You don't go to Starbucks and hang out. You don't do any of that because relationally they're dead to you. Now, if they're lying bleeding on the street or whatever after being run over by a Mack truck, you're going to get them help, obviously, right? They're still your brother in Christ. But that's where it ends. And again, if it's from God, because God will sometimes throw curveballs, he's going to come back with those three conditions not in question, and it's going to move forward without you having to wonder about anything or feeling like, is this from God? You're not going to question whether it's from God. You're going to know this is from God because it's all going to line up according to that. Being said, I love you. And I pray that God continues to bless you. Have no fear of this coronavirus. Perfect love casts out fear. I think that's 1 John 4:8. And God's not given us the spirit of fear, but a power of love and sound mind. 2 Timothy 1:7, I believe. So tomorrow I'm going to resume the relationship readiness with the Ministry of Marriage. But thank you for listening and joining me today, and I will talk to you soon. Bye-bye.